कृष्णं नमनीय पाद सरोजदापियसि कामवर्षम्
disregarded kriya, enjoyment of fruitive activities, artam, in order that swamayaya, by your own energy, vartita, brought about lokatantram, the material worlds. Namami, I offer obeisances, abhikshnam, continuously. Namaniya, worshipable. Pada sarojam, lotus feet. Alpiyasa, alpiyasi,
on the insignificant.
Kama, desires. Varsham, showering. Translation and purports. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I continuously offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet, of which it is worthy to take shelter, because you shower all benedictions on the insignificant. To give all living entities detachment from fruitive activities by realizing you. You have expanded these material worlds by your own energy. Of course, this is the last prayer of Kardama Muni to Satya Narayan after he appeared in front of him. proposed purport. Everyone, therefore, whether he desires material enjoyment, liberation, or the transcendental loving service of the Lord, should engage himself, offering obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, because the Lord can award everyone his desired benediction. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord affirms, Yeta mam prapadyante. Anyone who desires to be a successful enjoyer in his material world is awarded the benediction by the Lord. Anyone who desires to be liberated from the entanglement of his material world is given liberation by the Lord. And anyone who desires to constantly engage in his service in full Krishna consciousness is awarded that benediction by the Lord. For material enjoyment, he has prescribed so many ritualistic sacrificial performances in the Vedas for material enjoyment. And thus people may take advantage of those instructions and enjoy material life in the higher planets or in a noble aristocratic family. And enjoy, these processes are mentioned in the Vedas, and one can take advantage of them. It is similar with those who want to be liberated from this material world. Unless one is disgusted with the enjoyment of his material world, he cannot aspire for liberation. Liberation is for one who is disgusted with material enjoyment. Vedanta Sutra says, therefore, Atato Brahma Jignas. Those who have given up the attempt to be happy in this material world can inquire about the Absolute Truth. For those who want to know the Absolute Truth, the Vedanta is available, as is Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual explanation of Vedanta Sutra. Since Bhagavad Gita is also Vedanta Sutra, by understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra, or Bhagavad Gita, one can obtain real knowledge. When one attains real knowledge, he becomes theoretically one with the Supreme, and when he actually begins to service a Brahman or Krishna consciousness, he is not only liberated, but is situated in his spiritual life. Similarly, for those who want to enjoy it, to want to lord it over material nature, there are so many departments of material enjoyment. Material knowledge and material science are available, and the Lord provides for persons who want to enjoy them. The conclusion is that one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for any benediction. The word Kamavarshan is very significant, for it indicates that he satisfies the desire of anyone who approaches him. But one who sincerely loves Krishna and yet wants material enjoyment is in perplexity. Krishna, being very kind toward him, gives him an opportunity to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and he gradually forgets the hallucination. Namami abhikshanam namaniya para sarojam alpiyasi kama varsham.
Haribol.
Let's echo. Got the echo going here. Hare Krishna. So any comments? Questions? Complaints? He's falling asleep. So again, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like, well, I've heard this before. Most likely. But have you really heard it? There's one verse that Prabhupada seems to be paraphrasing from the first two cantos. Practically speaking, everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is in the second chapter. The sages at Naimisharani, they asked the Sudha Goswami, what is the essence of all scripture? What is the essence of all dharma? Why does Krishna incarnate? How does he manifest himself through his energies? Especially, what is the significance of the Krishna incarnation? And he answers all these questions, almost all of them, in the second chapter. And so you find many, many times Prabhupada citing from those second chapters, many, many verses, again and again like that. And third chapter, he just discusses the incarnations, like, one after another, like that, their characteristics. And finishes off then with the incarnation for the age of Kali, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. and it's the literary incarnation of God, and those who've lost their vision due to the dense darkness of Kali Yuga can get light from this Purana. My second temple president was Bhaktadas. Bhaktadas, you know him, right? And when he was initiated, he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, so your name is Bhaktadas. The more you think you are the servant, the more you will be happy. And the more you think you are the master, the more you will go to hell. Like that. So any circumstance, Prabhupada's saying, is this whether you want to be a materialist or whatever it is, if you think you're the master, then you're going to be suffering. Pridayananda Maharaj mentions that in material consciousness, every man is thinking, I will conquer the world, right? And in material consciousness, every woman is thinking, that's all right. Let him conquer the world. I'll conquer him. Right? Yeah. So, and all the children are thinking, that's all right, I'll conquer mommy. I'll force her to do what I want her to do. Like that. And the dog is thinking. So everybody is thinking this way, this attitude of conquest. But as soon as he turned the whole thing around, this attitude of service, then everything becomes quite happy, quite pleasant. So akama, sarva kama, moksha kama, udaradi, tivrena bhakti yogena, ajate purusham param. Yeah, we should do it with great tivrena, great determination. Yeah. Of course, but this is a devotee, pretty much. You've come to being a devotee, and otherwise people can't understand this. But in the beginning, it's a very, very unclear devotion. If you have any kind of real devotion to have real devotion for Krishna, you have to have a clear understanding of who he is. Right? How many people here worship Fujimura? Anybody here worshiping Fujimura? No? Nobody here? No one likes Fujimura? Anybody here know who Fujimura is? Back in the two guys here. So he was the former president of Peru. And many people, worshiping him like that, the president of Peru. So, if you want to worship Fujimura, you have to know who he is, right? Otherwise, what is it? Kind of an apple like that? Is the kind of halava? Yeah, I worship Fujimura. Now he's a person, like that. So same way, if you're worshiping Krishna for material benedictions, then you don't really know who Krishna is, and you don't know who you are. I've heard the story that one ISKCON sannyasi was in the queue, in the line to see Balaji, in Tirupati. He was standing there. And of course, it's a long line like that, and they've kind of decorated it now, so it's not as bad as it used to be out here. So he started talking. There were two boys in front of him. He started talking to them. It was a long time. And they just graduated, finished their studies at some university. And they were coming to see Balaji to pray for benedictions. And, he was talking to them. One boy, he said, what do you want? He said, I'm going to ask Balaji. I'm looking for a good job. And I want to make $10,000 a year. Like that. So Sannyasi's kind of smiling and said, Balaji is the Lord of the universe. He's a master of countless universes like that, and you're just going to ask him for $10,000. Some boy, wow, you're kind of wasting your time standing in this long queue. And the boy is listening, and he says, sir, you are right. I will ask for $15,000 a year. Right? So you don't know who Krishna is, you don't know who you are. Yeah? Yeah? We still don't know. We have a lot of understanding. I was thinking about reading this purport, I was thinking, what do I really want from Krishna right now? And I would say, well, actually, what I want is not to fall asleep. pray to God, let me stay awake for a little while longer so I can, engage in my service here, the morning program properly. And then, well, that's kind of a stupid desire. Well, it's enough for right now. Later on, we'll be in a better position. One ISKCON sannyasi, I can mention names here, Jagat Guru, he took shelter of Sridhar Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother. And he was asking Sridhar Maharaj about certain books that other Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis are printing. Very esoteric things about Radha and Krishna's pastimes and very, very confidential activities like that. So he was asking Sridhar Maharaj, he said, well, what about these things? Should these be printed? Should they be distributed like that? Then Sri Ramar said that Bhakti Siddhanta was also approached by his disciples to print some of these very intimate books like that. And Bhakti Siddhanta said, yes, you can print it. Print one copy, put it in a golden box, and put it way up on top of the altar, and pay your obeisances to it every day. Like that. Yeah. So he said, Sri Ramar just told him, and he said, yeah, I think he was much more advanced than this, but he said, Baba, these things are way beyond me. You know, like that Radha and Krishna's conjugal activities and so on. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, Baba, I think I'm on the right path. I think I'm on the right path. So that's where we're at. You know, I mean, somebody here may have seen Krishna every now and again. You get a little taste. You know, Brahmandi Brahmatekom Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lada Bij. Little taste like that. Narada Muni, right? You got a little taste. You saw Vishnu for a few minutes just to enthuse him and to go ahead and become purified to maintain that vision. So yeah, we see up ahead, it seems like that. All the places along the path are matching up with the map I got. So it appears to be the map is correct and the goal is there. Okay, so I'll go ahead. Yeah. But blind faith is condemned. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Blind faith is condemned. We're supposed to just act on what we know. That's enough. Right? Prabhupada says every human being has some knowledge about God. You can't be a human being and not have some knowledge. So you may ask some man, you know, what does God want you to do? He may say, I don't believe in God. There is no God. He knows. If he's honest, you know, he'll say, well, probably he wants you to stop smoking. You know? Okay, are you going to do it? And the guy thinks, well, maybe I should do it, maybe I shouldn't do it. Oh, okay, I'll do it. I'll try and stop smoking. So you come back in a few weeks, you say, how did it go? He says, oh, it's tough, but I did it, and I really felt God was helping me, you know, like that. Okay, what does he want you to do now? Well, probably he wants me to find some kind of good fellowship, some kind of spiritual community, you know, church or something like that. So knowledge is there, you know. Faith doesn't mean blind faith, right? Faith means you do what you know you should do. And that's your choice, right? Yeah, no, I mean, everybody, how many people here have failed to do what they know they should do? I've always done it every, no. I mean, again and again, you know. But Krishna is so kind, Srila Prabhupada is so kind, he gives us another chance and tries again, and we go on, you know, advancing like that. You know. So this is, you know, my dear Lord, although it is not your desire, oh, that's 20, text 20. I continuously offer my obeisances under your lotus feet, which are worthy of taking shelter, because you shower all benedictions on the insignificant. To all living entities, detachment from primitive activities, but to give all living entities, by realizing you, you've expanded these material worlds by your own energy. Right? So, you know, Krishna, even the most insignificant person, Krishna is conscious of them and he's giving them some kind of help. So he's a person to approach. Yeah. You try and approach the government or something like that, they don't know who you are, they're not going to respond to you. Yeah. But you try to look for somebody who can appreciate you in your position and help you, right? Yeah. So Manu Kardama is saying, you know, that therefore you're the person to approach because you're conscious of everybody. You're aware of everybody's activities and you're interested, and very sincerely interested at that. And for that purpose, even more explicit, more direct, you know, you've created this material world. Yeah? So in this material world where we are, we have to begin our Krishna consciousness. This is the same answer that Maharaj Pariksit gets when he's asking Sukadeva Goswami in the very beginning. I'm living here, I'm in this world, how can I start here? You know, chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita, same thing. Arjuna says, okay, it's very nice, you're explaining yourself, but I'm just a Kshatriya, I'm an ordinary person, how can I start my devotional service right here in my life? Queen Kunti says the same thing. How's it go? Paramahamsa, Paramahamsanam. Verse it with that one. Muninamamalatmanam. Katambhakti yoga. Histriyaha. Yeah. The great munis, the great meditators, the great yogis, they can understand you. You know, but how can I understand you? I'm just an ordinary lady caught up in the politics of the palace. How can I understand you? Next verse. Krishnaya, Vasudevaya, Devakinandanaya cha, Nandagopa, Kumaraya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. Yeah. So, if there's some beautiful woman, shy, good figure, well-dressed, nice skin, you know, walk through the door right now, everybody, all the men would look, right? No? You beyond this? In your mature age, you're beyond feminine attraction? As Emperor Akbar's counselor said, Akbar asked his minister, when does his attraction for the opposite sex end? And he says, with death. Showed an old man in the dying bed, still like the princess came in, he looked up, you know. Yeah. But if a very beautiful baby with curly hair, gaga, woo, came in like that, all the ladies would look like that, you know. Oh. I've seen it time and again. They just lie. They give me a class, the little kid starts causing some disturbance, all the women are just gone. They just all forget the class, they're all like looking, you know. He's causing little mischief, isn't that cute, you know, like that. You know? So it's hardwired into the system that way. But what does Kunti say? Yeah, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. You become my nephew. I can think of you as my nephew, my family, you know. And you become a little cute little cowherd boy of Nanda Maharaj, like that. And so naturally, Kunti's this nature just flows to this little cute little cowherd boy, like that. You know? And so Krishna does that. He comes in a form that we can appreciate. Right? If you're out of work, you're looking for a job, then Krishna will come, he'll incarnate. Incarnate is a job. But it may not be so easy to catch him. You have to run after him to try and catch him like that. I probably had these experiences. You, as a devotee, you want something, and Krishna kind of incarnates and doesn't incarnate. You've got to work after him. Finally, when you get it, you feel this, you know, satisfaction and purification that you didn't feel before. Very nice. You realize, thank you. So it has to happen. It has to happen. So Manu is saying, to give all living entities detachment from fruitive activities by realizing you've expanded these material worlds by your own energies. So everybody should want things. You should want, how many saris is too many saris? Nobody's answering. Is 25 saris too many? Nobody says no. Is 150 saris too many? Okay, somebody will start to raise down there. No, it's okay. Is it ladies like dresses? You know, something like that. You know, it was one American movie actor. He said, "There's two kinds of Americans: those who own a horse, and those who wish they owned a horse, like that." And as soon as I heard that, I thought, "Well, yeah, I'd like to have a horse." You know, so everybody has a particular desires. Maybe men want cars or vehicles, or if you're grihasta, if you're sannyasi, you want better shoes, perfect ideal shoes, or the perfect bag, with all pockets in the right place, and like that. So everybody, these are the winds, the favorable winds that will push the boat, across the ocean of material existence. So the thing is not to try and dampen your material desires. The thing is to try and augment your material desires and engage them in serving Krishna. Right? And then you can begin to wake up. You go from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, the mode of passion, the mode of goodness in devotional service with this goal. Yeah, the goal is there. I know that. But I have to go through these things. Yeah. Karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, dhyana mishra bhakti, and then Mishra Bhakti, and then finally Shuddha Bhakti. Like that. It's okay? So, very important verse. Akama, Sarvakama, Moksha Kama, Udaradi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, Yajate Purusham Param. What does Udaradi mean? It means thoughtful, doesn't it? The magnanimous? Okay. I think if I was his purport, the person with broader intelligence, Udaradhi. Yeah, Udaradhi. Yeah, like that. Yeah? So whether you have all desires or no desires, or whether you want to be free from all desires, you know, a person with better intelligence, he has to know Krishna, right? Vidaradi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Chant your rounds every day. Srila Prabhupada's given us this sacrifice. So merciful, right? So merciful. He's given us this vrata. Yagnanam japa yagno shmi, right? Among sacrifices, I am japa. So you chant it. Figure out how much time you're actually thinking about Krishna while you're chanting your rounds. Try and improve that. You know? Somehow or other, mechanical tricks, fix your mind. You know? 16 good rounds, you know, early in the morning, yeah, best time. You know, get up early. Yeah. What's his name? Prabodhananda Saraswati says, treat your senses roughly. Get out of bed, you donkey. Yeah. St. Francis says, this body is an ass that you ride through this world. Don't spend all of your time taking care of an ass, right? Decorating it, everything else, pleasing it. You know, oh, make it work. Get to work. Yeah, healthy life. So get up early, Brahma Muhurta, hour and a half before sunrise. You get triple credit for every single mantra you say during that time, every effort you do. It's a fact. Yeah. And then after that, you do your job, and then it's light enough you can read something. It's very natural. You can read. Then you take a little prasad, and then you do your karma yoga. Maybe more brahminical activities if you're a Brahmin, or you go out and, you know, kill people and protect damsels in distress, and, you know, everything else like that, right? Kshatriya, you know? Or a Vaishya, making money, or a Shudra, working for somebody else, you know, using your abilities, you know, like that. But give it all results to Krishna. Come back in the evening, shower, a little arti, kirtan, prasadam. You know? But tivrena. Navyogendra Maharaj was in San Francisco, and he said that he joined ISKCON. He was a little boy in Nepal, and some traveling Sankirtan party went through there from Krishna Balaram Mandir. And he joined them and came back to Vrindavan, and he was chanting and became a devotee and second initiation. Then one, he said, one day during Mangala, during the japa period, he was in the temple room chanting with the devotees, and Prabhupada's secretary came and said, Navyogendra. He said, yes, Prabhu. Prabhupada wants to talk to you. Yeah, me? Yes, you. Oh, you know, so he went there. Then Prabhupada said, Navyogendra, I have a temple in Africa which is having some problems. I want you to go there and take charge. And I said, Prabhupada, I'm a little boy from Nepal, and even coming to a different state in India, you know, was a big, you know, change for me. Now you want me to go to a different country, a different continent, and become a temple president of a temple with problems. That's impossible. So he said, Prabhupada laughed and said, if you chant 16 nice rounds, follow the four principles strictly, maintain a full morning and evening program, and make sure everybody under your authority does the same thing, you will have no problems. Like that. So he said he tried it, and it was a fact. Like that. So Prabhupada says this many times in different ways. He gives different formulas, different kind of formulas, or different varieties, but they all work. They all accomplish the same thing. So I actually heard this, you know, at that time. I've been a devotee make about 9 years or something like that. I actually heard that, and I tried it, and it works. Yeah, it works. I've had no problems for 21 years. Yeah. So this is, you know, the tivrena. And it's you know, you have knowledge, then you become more determined, and you get more determined, you get more knowledge. You know, it goes back and forth, just back and forth, you know, making progress. And who's the enjoyer of all this progress? We don't know. Krishna! I was going down the street one time, and a guy was waiting to cross, you know, to pull into the traffic. He looked over me and looked at me and said, "Hey, what do you get out of all this?" And I was kind of thinking, I didn't, you know, I just couldn't find any answer. And I realized, well, I don't get anything out of this. Krishna gets something out of this. He says, well, God, I don't get anything out of it. God gets something out of it. He laughed and kind of nodded his head and drove away like that. Yeah? That's the big trick. Everything else is how am I going to enjoy, right? So many ways, you know. But the whole thing is, you know, I'm not going to get anything out of this. Krishna's going to get something out of this. Then we get a real deep, you know, satisfaction. Yeah, like that. And motivation. So, any questions now? Comments? Oh, okay. How did you? Yeah.
You were speaking about how we can engage our material desires for Krishna, and you gave an example. Also, you were talking about how ladies are attracted to famous.
Yeah. No, you buy nice saris. Mr. Bhagavan's going to get married here. You buy lots of nice saris for your wife. And that's a fact. You know, I have my personal experience. I was a grihastha sometime, and I also had my deities. And then I started, we go to the store and look for beautiful things for the deities, and little crystal, places for them to stand, little Japanese fans and stuff like that. So in some sense, we use it all for Krishna. So a lady takes the baby as Krishna as her baby. And there's so much more satisfaction taking Krishna as your baby and cleansing him and bathing him and feeding him. And so you go on with your care for your own children, but you start feeling this is really better. And you start thinking, well, this is just a body. My child has a body and have to take care of it. What about the person, the devotee in that body? So you start advancing. But in the more gross level, we're attracted, okay, so whatever it is, if you like cars, you start looking for a nice car, and Krishna will keep purifying you until finally you get something you can really use for your service and really does calm your lust down so it's not bothering you anymore and gives you a chance to experience it and realize that, well, really is not that good, For example, one devotee, Jai Krishna, he has a parking lot cleaning business. And he says it's the most boring, dull business on earth, parking lot cleaning business. But he has these big contracts and these big malls. You don't realize it, but these big malls and shopping areas, if you don't clean them for 5 days, they start to really look bad. The trash outside and the weeds start to grow. So every night they go through these machines and sweep them, clean the trash like that. So he has about 50 guy crews out at night. It's big business, So to negotiate the contracts with these guys running these malls, he has a Cadillac convertible. He has eight different, expensive suits. He has 140 ties. And he says, why do I need 140 ties So that's kind of carried away, But Prabhupada says, to be a kshatriya, you have to have weapons and you have to have good dress. Then the common people will respect you. They appreciate always as somebody respectable. So he said when he goes to work with a $400 suit on and a tie and mustache and drives up in a Cadillac, all of his employees immediately listen to what he wants to tell them. He hasn't got to argue with anything else. Oh, yeah, Joe's here, the boss is here. And Mr. Gennaro, is that going to ask you? So same way, you can relate these things to your particular passion, your service. So he needs a job like that. Otherwise, he's not satisfied. So same way then for natural thing, Prabhupada says for grihastha, natural thing is to try and supply nice clothes for his wife, a nice residence where she can manifest her beauty. And lady's beauty is not just her skin and her fat, whatever. It's her artistic abilities and her managerial abilities. So you give her a nice house and some situation, she can do very nice, curtains and carpets and, having nice friends come and everything else. And the husband comes home and sees her clean, the children clean, everything else. And Prabhupada says he can think very soberly about family affairs like that. And he thinks, very nice, And then let's go, Saturday night, let's go down to the Plaza de Armas. This is a Spanish tradition. So you go down to the plaza in the village and there's few bands playing and ice cream for sale and the mayor's there and you walk with your wife on your arm with the new clothes and your kids are nicely dressed and you say hello to the mayor and the mayor says hello to you and you go walking home and you notice that there's two boys following behind your daughter and sure enough you get home they start serenading her under the balcony and she goes out and that's her hand while you sit inside it's very satisfying to a certain level. It's there's only one movie You know what that movie is? Tarzan and Jane, right? You know, me Tarzan, you Jane, him Cheetah. Okay, here we go again. Let's play it again. Me him Tarzan, you Jane, him Cheetah. Okay, here we go again. But after a while, we begin to realize that we are all Cheetah, right? And Tarzan and Jane's already taken. They were never going to be Tarzan and Jane. But we want to try it, you know? Want to try it. Romeo and Juliet, Napoleon and Cleopatra, Napoleon and Josephine, right? Caesar and Cleopatra. You know, it's all these stories, Fifi and Fido. It's like, you did it, right? Lady and the Tramp. It's all about Fifi and Fido. It's like, on and on like that. So, you know, we try it in the mode of passion. You try this out. And for a man, then, you know, and then, you know, there's polygamy. Okay, here's a great topic. Everybody wakes up right away. You know. Vedic culture is suggesting this. Yeah, some situation. And it's a whole scientific thing. This is that people actually are satisfied by it. In the modern world, there's no arrangement for this, so there's so much divorce going on, everything else, and it's a miserable situation. Yeah. But Vedic culture says, okay, you can't follow ekapatnivrata, like Ram, you know, one wife. All right, and then with your wife's understanding and everything else, maybe she even makes the arrangement, you know. Then you take a second wife, you take care of her properly, and then third wife, and then you begin to, you know, when I was in Kamivan, in Vrindavan, I went to get some photocopies done in the old machine. And the wall, there was a sign that said, to marry once is duty, right? To marry twice is stupidity, right? To marry three times is insanity. So it's Indian comprehension. So in the West, we're all nuts, more or less. You got to figure out what's going on here. You know? But yeah, you begin to gradually, if you follow the rules and regulations, you know, for getting children, for having a family, for being an emperor, for all these things, you begin to get knowledge. By karma comes jnana. And you see what it all means and how it all relates, and actually then you begin to realize, yeah, I don't want to give these things up, but I want to connect them to Krishna more and more. You know? I know one devotee, he went to five different astrologers. He was a brahmachari, Prabhupada disciple. And every single one of them, good astrologers in India, said, you know, he said, I don't know how on earth you're planning on staying brahmachari. Said, you know, your entire satisfaction is with the opposite sex and it's your karma, like that. And he was experiencing that. And so finally he just got married. You know? Yeah. So maybe it's after some time you realize, actually my karma is so intense, I need to be married 3-4 times to keep it become peaceful. You know? So Krishna says, okay, no problem. Somebody else has a sannyas karma. He has to give lectures. He has to do austerities. He has to... like that. Somebody else has to be married 4 or 5 times. Okay. You know? But just do it following my rules. You know? I'll send nice kids to be your children. You know? I'll send the money. And it'll be great. Big happy family. 25 kids. You know? 5 wives. Okay. Everybody waking up here? Really? Yeah, that's okay. But you begin to realize, you know, what it all means to be Tarzan with 5 Janes and 25 cheetahs. It's like a lot of work. Better my next lifetime, let me be a sannyasi like that. I have really heavy sannyas karma. Again, 25 astrologers and 14 everybody else. It's just like, you know, I'm gonna have $10 in my pocket my whole life like that. But for handling other people's money is really big like that. You know? So same way, it's just something I did in my last lifetime or something like that then led me to this position. And in some ways it's good, because you're not agitated by these passionate things, and people start arguing over money, power, these things. I just don't have any interest. You know, it's just, who cares? You know, like that. But what's the problem? There's the natural faults in being a woman, the natural faults in being a kshatriya, and what's the natural fault in being a sannyasi? Yeah, material renunciation. You just tend to renounce everything like that, right? You're bound to Krishna, some bond. The real thing is to use it in Krishna's service. But you just kind of walk away from this, walk away from that, renounce everything. So you have to learn, you know, to be compassionate, right? Yeah. To be involved. Otherwise, you know, I'll let them all go to hell. Yeah. Like that. So every ashram has its advantages and disadvantages. How to use them properly, you know? Yeah. So for a man, then, you know, is to be properly married. Yeah. and then to decorate. Prabhupada says that human life means to decorate the house, and for a man to decorate his house and decorate his wife, like that. You know, find nice jewelry and things like that. You know, and then there's satisfaction. Here's another example. Ambarish, our ISKCON millionaire, he says that, he told me, he said, it's a curse having so much money, like that. You can't avoid it. It comes in every day. I don't know what's coming, $1,000 a day, or $3,000 a day comes to the door without any work, right? Well, how nice. You think so? Try it. He says, unless he works very hard to see all the money he's engaged in devotional service, very nicely, funding different projects, making sure they're using the money properly. He says, unless he does that, works every hard like that, then the money starts to talk to him. Hey, Ambarish. Yeah, what is it? You know, you've been working really hard lately. I think you deserve a vacation now. And remember yesterday this brochure came for a $5,000 weekend in the Bahamas, and you could go there, and you deserve it, like that. Oh yeah, right. Yeah. So it's all. Otherwise, it starts to. Then one thing leads to another, and he had experience of this. And it leads to very, very, degraded activities like that. And so everybody has their karma, and you have to work with that and engage in Krishna's service like that. And this is the point. Akarma, sarva kama, moksha kama, udaradi. Krishna, out of his mercy, creates this material world so we can express these desires, and then we get knowledge, and then we ask for something else. I tried that, I've done it. I was treasurer in San Francisco, and I needed a briefcase because I was going to the bank and all these documents like that. But I'm a sannyasi, so I'm not attached to houses or rooms, but I'm attached to luggages and suitcases and briefcases like that. So I wanted the ideal briefcase, and I would meditate on it when I was chanting my rounds. I could have pockets like this, and I should simultaneously be very, very, good, but it should look poor, so when people saw it, they wouldn't think of robbing me like that. So I was going here, and I was going there, and every place looking for briefcases, on and on like that. And I could really see that Krishna was like putting me through this, and I could feel the passion coming out of me, and finally I found something. It wasn't exactly what I wanted, but it was even better. I could see that. I thought, yeah, this is exactly what, Krishna arranged, And then when I retired as treasurer, I gave it to the next treasurer like that. Just the official treasurer's briefcase like that and stuff. And I felt, the desire, it diminished. It hasn't gone away, but it diminished. My desire for good luggage like that. Good luggage and good shoes. Okay? So you can tell you afterwards. See, Mara said you got to buy good ornaments for me. Okay. So, Pāpāt ki. All right, here's a Mā mantra ki. Okay. Back to God. So, tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll go through 18,000 verses in 108 minutes. Light up. There we go. Wow. Strong. I can never figure out why they made collapsing harmoniums. Huh? I never figured out why they made collapsing harmoniums.